Maz Hakeem. Maz spilling the tea. A Virgin Radio 104.4 podcast. Download the podcast now.
On this week's episode of Spill the Tea with Maz, she was a former editor of the wonderful Women's Health magazine. She has worked for many brands from CNN Travel to Destination. She is a girl about town. So excited to have the beautiful Danae in the studio. Welcome, Danae.
Thanks, that's quite an intro.
Yeah. I can't speak highly enough about you because you are everywhere at the moment.
Thanks. Thank you, this is great. I paid her to say that.
Yeah. Pay me later. So tell me firstly about your journey with Women's Health magazine. You're a former editor and you obviously believe in being healthy and fit.
Yeah, so Women's Health is always a brand that I loved ever since I was little, right? I mean, I've kind of focused on health and fitness and wellness for years now. I did sport at a college, so I always had a goal of being a personal trainer in addition to writing and being a journalist and stuff. So I was freelance before I went into Women's Health and Men's Health, mm-hmm. and I had said to some of my friends that brand was the only brand that I would leave being freelance for. Mm-hmm. And when ITP, who own the publication here, when they came to me with the offer, I didn't hesitate. They're both Women's Health, Men's Health, they're both incredible brands to be part of. It's a huge global company with a real family feel. Mm-hmm. It was just such a blessing to be involved.
I guess a magazine like that is so important because it shares so much, you know, positive messaging, as your social media does. So you post a lot about being healthy and fit. How many times a day do you exercise and how much is that a part of your daily routine?
Well, I try to exercise usually once a day. Sometimes if I'm training or teaching a class, like at Crank, it'll be twice a day. But for me, you know, exercise has always been a place where if I am stressed or anxious, mm-hmm. or caught up in my own brain, which does happen, mm-hmm. I can go and exercise and it calms me down, it bounces me out, it helps put things in perspective and I leave feeling strong and powerful, which I like.
Absolutely. No, I can definitely relate to that. For me, I find myself getting anxious when I don't exercise. I don't, like you said, I don't feel in control. Mm. And this is such an energetic job. I have to preserve my energy. So I feel like that, you know, helps a lot. Is that the same with you?
I think for me personally, yes, I think I like knowing I like exercising. I like feeling strong. I like that it helps with whatever chaos comes in the day. It's something I can count on. And I know even when I am tired or sleepy or grumpy, if I go, I will leave feeling better. Yes. I mean, I think you do see people taking it to extremes, which is where you have sort of exercise addiction, exercise disorders, and those sorts of things. So I think it's very important to also listen to your body. And if you are exhausted, you don't go. And I definitely have those days too. Mm. But by and large, I try to work out once a day.
Yeah, great. Well, you can definitely tell because you do look amazing.
Oh, bless you.
let's talk Instagram. So you've got a very strong social media presence and you post a lot about health and fitness. And recently I've noticed you have been, you know, I guess posting the reality versus, you know, the polished Instagram shots. Tell us a little bit about, I guess, how that decision came about. Did you gradually start doing that or did you notice that a lot of people are editing their photos and you wanted to show a realistic side?
I mean, I've been doing Instagram now for years, I guess. And for a very long time, it was all very luxury travel because before I went into Women's Health, yeah. that's what I was writing about. That was my niche, was a lot more of the travel side. And my Instagram developed around that, around luxury travel.
Yeah.
And then I just, as a person, I mean, I say this often, I believe it. I'm 32 now. I really started to find myself in my 30s. So over the last few years, like who I am and how I want to express myself, it's changed.
Yeah.
And I I think for a long time I felt very nervous about changing my channel. Like, instead of posting the beautiful travel shot that's just perfect and everything's posed and everything's glamorous, I started wanting to just show who I am, which is, you know, kind of quirky and very, very imperfect and like a little bit of a mess most of the time. Like, I think I have lipstick on my sleeve here. So that's, like, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. And that's much more who I am. And I was very, very afraid of doing that, of showing that more raw side, partially because in our region, you really don't see that a lot.
No.
And then also because I was Women's Health and Men's Health. I was there as the editor-in-chief, and I felt, you know, I was representing a brand, and I didn't want there to be confusion. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want that to be seen as their message.
Yeah.
So I was just very nervous. But when I, you know, when I stepped away from those positions and kind of gave myself freedom to experiment and explore,
yeah,
I just started to be more real. And it's something that has happened over the last, I think, 6 months or so.
Mm.
And I think I remember the very first one I did was a picture of me on the beach, and it was literally an outtake. Like, I was sat there going through my photos to pick the one where
the perfect one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where it's like hairs everywhere and everything is just like looking saucy.
Yeah, exactly. It's smoothed out a little bit.
Yeah, a little sass. And there was just a quite unflattering picture of me not looking sassy and from quite a harsh angle, and it's, you know, showing cellulite and stretch marks. And I just was like, well, I just want to show this. I'm tired of perfect. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my, like, the people that I guess follow me, my audience, they were so lovely and supportive.
Yes.
And that just gave me courage, where I was like, okay, I can do this. This feels true. It feels good. Yeah. It feels strong. Yeah. So it's gone from there.
And it definitely has the right message, because we're bombarded with so many messages of perfection. And a lot of the messages, it's unattainable. You know, we don't realize that when we pick up, say, any sort of publication, most of the time, you know, it's polished, it looks perfect. People don't look like that in real life.
100%. Exactly. I mean, even, we work in this industry, right? Yes. We know how much magazines are edited. We know how much TV. I mean, I've got a friend who is a TV director, and what they do with video and post-production.
Yeah. Like,
you can smooth skin, you can change eye shape, you can do so much.
It's crazy.
And people just don't realize. And the danger, I think, with social media is the assumption is, well, this is reality.
Yeah.
But it's, quite often it's not. Like, those people, they might look like that in that specific pose, on that specific day, with that lighting, with that photographer. But, you know, I think 80% of the time, we don't look perfect.
No. It's not, I mean, because we're human, everybody is imperfectly perfect. Have you had any backlash from any of the images that you've posted?
Some, yes.
Okay.
Some. I have had some. It's been a mix of guys and girls, but mostly men, surprisingly.
Interesting.
And it will be things like, I think the most, probably the harshest one I received was, it was a picture of me from behind, and I was talking about stretch marks and cellulite, which I do have on my hips and my bum. And I have been unhealthily thin, and I still had that.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's just part of my body, and that is the way my body is.
Yeah.
Anyways, I posted something to that extent, talking about it, and I got a comment from a man saying, "Oh, but those aren't stretch marks. That's just fat. You need to get your lazy booty." But he used a less nice word, lazy booty, to the gym. So,
you know,
every now and then you get things like that, or there was someone, again, a man the other day who was like, "Well, I don't understand why you're making such a big deal about this. Why is this all about you? Like, yes, we know that's what people's bodies look like." And I think I'm lucky in that overall the messages are very positive, but it's always a little bit startling when you get such anger from a complete stranger who is also these are real accounts. They aren't fake accounts. So it's like you believe this enough that you feel comfortable saying this as you.
And I guess we're lucky that we're at a certain age where we can sort of look at that and appreciate that this person is obviously angry at something else in their life and they're just, you know, reflecting that on social media because they're actually internally angry with something else. A lot of younger girls, I have nieces, 13, 14 years old. If you were dealing with someone like that, you would not, you wouldn't have the maturity to understand that you would get affected by a lot of the trolls, you know?
100%. I think trolling, it is a very dangerous thing. I mean, I had, it was before I started this journey and it was my first proper troll, I would say, someone who is very upset, not just at me, but at the industry in general. And they had taken some of my images and then covered my face, but reposted them with some really harsh statements.
Okay.
And that was my very first time ever being trolled. And it was my image and people saw it and I was so embarrassed. And I was just, I felt very ashamed, for something I didn't do. And I had nothing I couldn't change, but I felt very ashamed. But, you know, that was my very first troll in a way I'm thankful because now when these other comments come, I feel much stronger.
Yeah.
But I'm 32, I'm not 13.
Yeah.
And I think as a teenager, online bullying, the anger, the freedom to be quite cruel, those are very dangerous things.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think the world is changing? Do you think people are recognizing more and more that a lot of these edited images on social media, in magazines, on TV, do you think people realize that it's not real and you don't have to be perfect?
I think so. I think we're seeing a shift at the moment towards more authenticity.
Yeah.
It's already happened in the US and the UK where there's this big movement away from perfect.
Yeah.
And that isn't just in their fitness influencers. It's in, you know, just their teenage influencers. It's in their lifestyle, their fashion.
Yeah.
Where for so long we've been saturated with perfect. And, you know, there's a real beauty in perfection. There's a beauty in art. And I love that. And I love the glamour. But I think we're missing a huge part of the story that's very dangerous to exclude because it then results in your average woman feeling quite bad about themselves.
Yeah.
So I think there's this movement and I've started in the last, year, I've seen it trickling in the Middle East. It's happening. Like I see it in Dubai. I see the emergence of plus size models, of people championing body positivity, there's a woman just yesterday who opened up. She's a fitness professional and she started talking about how for years she's been struggling with binge eating, but she never felt comfortable sharing it because, you know, you feel the pressure to be perfect. And, and now she's like, well, I just want to be honest.
No, I agree with you. I think there's definitely a shift, especially in the Middle East, because we do see a lot of images of perfection here. And a lot of women do look perfect because, you know, there's a lot of time being spent on the way people look. And so I agree. And I think it's the movement's only just started.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's so exciting to see what happens next. And I've received messages from, you know, from people who have been born in Dubai or born in the region who they DM me and they write like novels. It's these really long messages where it's them saying, you know, I never felt I had a space to talk about this before. And there are so many things I've struggled with my body, with my image, with feeling I needed to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to learn, maybe I don't, and, you know, things like that. So I think what's really powerful and exciting is the knowledge that we aren't alone in this.
Yeah.
Like we are not perfect. And I've worked with cover models. I've worked with models. I've worked with people that I look at and I'm like, you are ridiculously beautiful. You are stunning. You are perfection.
Yeah.
and still they are like, oh, but I've got this and oh, that and oh, what about this thing?
Yeah. So you're like, how can you see that? I can't see it.
But this is
crazy, right?
This is the thing is, I think if we all just stopped, if we let ourselves be a little more real, like there's nothing to lose there. There's only this kind of beautiful acknowledgement of, yeah, we're human.
Exactly.
Yeah, I look great in this dress, but also like from this angle, maybe I'm not proud of the way, like, it's human. It's,
yeah. And depending on who takes the picture also.
Yeah, exactly.
So you were a part of this campaign that went viral, showing images of people in the Middle East in unflattering, well, I don't want to use that word, but real angles. And the images were all really beautiful. And do you just want to tell us a little bit about, you know, the image that or the photo that was taken of you? And I remember reading that post and you saying that it was really tough. It was tough to see yourself in that angle and for that to be published.
Yeah, it was, that one was very, that was very, very hard for me. So the campaign's by a photographer that I've worked with quite a few times named Waleed Shah.
Yeah.
And he's titled it Rock Your Ugly. And Waleed, for ages, had been wanting to shoot someone in a very real way. And I think he'd approached someone last year and then they initially said yes. And then they're a bit like, oh, actually, no, I don't want to do this. And then when just as I was starting to talk more about bloating, which is something else I struggle with because of stress and food and that sort of thing.
Me too. Me too.
Yay.
Oh, gosh.
It's so fun.
Thank you, digestive enzymes.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Where's my gut health? Yeah. Come on. Be healthy. I'm giving you
kombucha.
The love.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, kombucha. What else can you?
But he had approached me and I... like this other person, I was all for it. And I was like, yes, I'm on board. Let's do this. Yes, this is genius. I want to be part of this campaign. And he came over and we shot and it was really cool. But we shot loads of pictures. And then there's one where he was like, this is it. This is the picture. And at the time I felt very nervous. I was like, oh, I'm not.
You're like, I really don't like it.
You know, it was quite, the light was really hard on my face. Like it was hard on my tummy, looked huge. Like it looked, because I was super bloated. I looked really bloated. It was just, I looked at it and I was like, this is a very raw picture about things that I'm still learning to
accept.
And I actually, like 3 weeks afterwards, he had messaged me and he's like, I want to start releasing the images for the campaign. Are you fine? Are you ready? Can I have your sign off? And I hesitated for a good couple of weeks and I called him and I tried to pull out of the campaign. Actually, I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like it's, you know, it's really quite harsh. And he told me then, he's like, actually, well, we're doing it. It's a group. It's all these people who are sharing their stories. There's, you know, someone with the colonoscopy bag. There's a woman who's a burn victim. There's someone who cuts. There's someone who has bulimia.
Yeah.
You know, so he told me about some of the other stories. And it's very moving and it's very powerful. And, and of course, I want to be part of that. So I guess I kind of put my fear to the side and just trusted in this goal that we all had. The response to Waleed's campaign was greater than we could have expected. It did go viral and it was on all these different outlets all over the world. And we actually have a big WhatsApp group and he keeps adding more people because he is shooting with more and more people.
Wow.
I think it's just really incredible. Scary. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Well, those images are so incredibly powerful. I went through all of them and... you know, very, very brave, but such a powerful message because, you know, like you said, it shows the vulnerable side to people and that's the real side, you know. So I just wanted to say bravo on that. And I know that you'd have to be so brave. And sometimes you need to take a leap with those things and just put yourself out there. And it kind of makes you then, you know, a bit of a spokesperson or a brand ambassador for, you know, being real. And, you know, I've definitely noticed with you over the last 6 months or a year that you're, you know, you're so authentic now. And it's really admiring to see that.
Well, thank you. I'm learning slowly by slowly. And I still have you know, things I want to share and things I want to talk about. But I think more than anything, I feel really, really blessed that, like, I feel like there's a community around me and they are cheering me and they're supporting me. And it's the most incredible thing. It's the way I have learned to be stronger. So I'm just excited, scared, but excited.
Well, we can't wait to see the rest of this journey. Where can people follow you, Danae, on social media?
Sure. I've got an Instagram. It's Danae Mercer. It's like Dana with an E.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Like Dana with an E.
Yeah. Danae Mercer, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yay. Maz Hakeem.
Maz, spilling the tea. A Virgin Radio 104.4 podcast.
Podcast.
Download the podcast now.